This is the story of Pentecost told in a poem, so just pin back your ears and listen.
When Jesus left the grave alive, that first great Easter day, he told the friends that loved him so that soon he'd go away. Then you, my friends, must tell the world my story. All must hear it. To give you power to do this job, I'm sending you God's Spirit. Then Jesus went back home to heaven, and his friends felt sad and lost. But he sent the Spirit, like he said, on the day called Pentecost.
That morning in the upper room, where Jesus' friends went for prayer, a sudden noise like rushing wind roared in as they met there. And when the sound at last calmed down, on every person's head a burning flame of fire stood, bright and warm and red. It was the gift that Jesus sent. It gave them power to speak languages like African, Arabian, and Greek.
They ran outside to share the news with folks from every land. It made no difference where they lived. Each one could understand. How can they speak like this? One said. It's a miracle, I think. Most were amazed, but others said, they've had too much to drink. Then Peter, chief disciple, stood and told the growing crowd. The men you see aren't drunk, but filled with special power from God.
He's given us the power to speak so all can understand this story that we want to tell to those in every land. Our Saviour, Jesus, Son of God, came down to live on earth. He came to Bethlehem and angels sang about his birth. When Jesus grew, he told why God had sent him from above. He healed the sick, he fed the poor, he lived his life in love.
And then you killed this Son of God. You nailed him to a cross. You buried him in a grave of stone, not knowing what you'd lost. But 3 days later he arose, alive, no longer dead. His death has washed away your sin. Come, follow him instead. The people heard what Peter said and asked him what to do. Turn from your sins and be baptized. God's calling each of you.
That day, 3,000 people joined the church at Peter's call. And that same Jesus, still today, is calling to us all. He's also given each of us new power from the Spirit. Let's share his story everywhere so all the world can hear it. Let's just pray. Father, guide us and lead us as we hear your word. Speak to us by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start with a question. Who is the Holy Spirit? How would you describe him? What kind of comes to mind? Does anybody have any thoughts? That's quite a tough question, actually, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is a little bit hard to describe. Anybody got one? Be brave. How would you describe the Spirit? Harry?
A person, rather than...
A person, right. Rather than...
Than something that you just
rather
cannot
than
say
force.
At all.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, right. Any other descriptions of the Spirit? There's some clues in our reading, aren't there? But in our poem, Tim, go for it.
The living Christ.
The living Christ, right. Mm-hmm. So, Jesus, but not Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Spirit of Jesus.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Right. Yes. So there's a connection between Jesus and the Spirit. Different, but... Yeah, okay. Thank you. The Spirit of Jesus. Any other thoughts? Quite tricky, isn't it? Yeah. Tough question. Okay. Last week in our sermon, Wendy had 3 points. Absence, presence, and the power of prayer. But traditionally, preachers have every point beginning with P. Don't ask me why, actually. Maybe it's so they can make 3 points beginning with P and call it 3 P's in a pod. It's a tradition. I don't know. Well, I'm not going to trouble you with all that today. I'm just going to have one single P. Now, I know it could have been peace or presence or purpose or Pentecost or power or prayer or whatever. But today I'm just going to settle for power. The power of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what we need, I think, today. We need the power of the Spirit. That's why over the years I've discovered that new wine is important. Because new wine's a movement that keeps drawing us back to worshipping and praying and ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why organisations like CHM and Faldebrunnen and so on are really helpful. Yes, we need to know the love of God the Father, of course we do. To know that we're created in his image, to know our place in the big story of God's dealings with humankind. Yes, we need to know the presence of Jesus, the Son, to have a real personal relationship with him, to follow him and to know his forgiveness. But as Wendy explained last week, the disciples had all of these things, and yet they were frightened. They were scared of the Jewish authorities. They were hiding away in a locked room, weren't they? And Jesus told them to wait and pray. To pray, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." He told them to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then the Spirit came, and that made the difference. And as Wendy said, we call that day Pentecost, the birthday of the Christian church, because that's the day that the church began in earnest and took off big time. From that day, it grew explosively, 3,000, as you heard in our reading on that one day alone. And it began to grow from Jerusalem and to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Scripture tells us, which is actually roughly where we're sitting now. If you were a first century disciple, you'd have described this as the ends of the earth, I think. And we need that power today, don't we? The power of the Holy Spirit. If you go out into Mark's Tay and you ask people why they don't come to church to worship on a Sunday, they'll probably say something like, "Well, I believe in God, but they don't think that church is quite for them." Why not? Well, often they'll say it's boring, it's dry, dusty, old-fashioned, irrelevant to them. So what would make a difference then? What would sort of wake them up and bring them to worship God? Well, I think it's if they saw God change things. If they saw God doing stuff, turning people's life around, helping those in need, even healings or signs and wonders. Because in Jesus' day and in the Acts of the Apostles, that's what drew the crowds and the converts. People coming together saying, "What does this mean? What on earth is going on here? What's all this about?" The power of God draws people. So what do we mean then by power? Because the Jews expected a Messiah who was powerful, but they expected his power to defeat the Romans. But instead, Jesus defeated sin and evil. It wasn't military power as they expected. It wasn't political power as they expected. It wasn't physical power. This power is power not as the world sees it, but as God sees it. And that's very, very different. Here's some picture examples. For example, not power to drive a powerful boat through the water, battling against the waves, but power to walk on water, power to still the storm. Not power to shift huge and heavy loads, either by muscle power or by hydraulics and heavy machinery, but power instead to create all of these things out of nothing in the first place, with simply a word, and then power daily to recreate them and renew them on the face of the earth. Not power to hurt, as so many seem to want to do today, and as Wendy's already prayed for those in London who've suffered, but instead power to mend, power to hurt, to heal, power to reconcile and bring people together in peace. Not power to compel and force people to believe against their will, but instead power to win over, to woo others, even the hardest heart. Not power to hate, which many today view as a kind of strength, but instead power to love, which may be easy enough when things are good, but which is harder still when others have hurt you, when our instinct is to hate. Then we need the power of the Spirit to give us strength to love. Not power to kill people, to waste life, or even to save lives, but instead power to defeat death itself, so that it holds no fear anymore, and power to bring people into eternal life with God. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? Well, he's the power of God in our lives today. Not power as the world sees it, but the power of Jesus, as Tim described it and linked it with him. The love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus in our lives. And we need that power today. The church needs that power. Bible scholar Ian Paul describes it like this: the Spirit has been sent from heaven by Jesus, who has ascended to the Father in heaven. And as a result, there's a connection between heaven and earth that there hasn't been before. The coming of the kingdom of God has begun in the lives of those filled with the Spirit. And that means, of course, you and me, who have the power of the Spirit. And we need to pray for that, to pray for God to give us more of his Spirit, more of his power in our day-to-day lives. For example, in the Gospels, much of Jesus' ministry was in private, actually, with his disciples or in a house or at a meal or with somebody, an individual being healed or whatever. And even after the resurrection, the disciples were in locked rooms, weren't they? And yet, on the day of Pentecost, the doors burst open. And what was private and hidden was now being proclaimed in the streets as public truth. The word is out. It's on the streets. So the power of the Spirit is not for personal private benefit. It's for getting out there for public proclamation of the gospel. Bishop David Pitches, who started New Wine, he has this neat catchphrase: the meeting place is the training place for the marketplace. In other words, the church is not somewhere that people come into, Christians come into to worship and so on, but it's actually where we go out from. Some churches even have a sign on the door: you're now entering the mission field. Because as we go out, that's when the real work of the gospel is done. Most people no longer find themselves drawn towards church buildings these days. A lot of people are even scared of walking in to the door of the building. What that means is we need God's power to go out from here and make disciples. That's what Jesus commanded at the end of Matthew's gospel. He didn't say, come into church. He said, go out and make disciples of all nations. So the Holy Spirit is a spirit of boldness and courage. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit took them out of a locked room onto the streets of Jerusalem. And the streets, of course, were heaving with people from every nation at the festival. Prayer ministry, I know, is another way that we experience the power of the Spirit. So I would encourage you to come for prayer at the end of any of our worship services, or actually at any time, because we need to get prayer ministry out there into the lives of people, not just in here. We can pray for one another, and we can do that at any time, on any day, in our homes, on the streets, in everyday situations. Prayer should be part of our everyday lives, just like breathing, the Christian's vital breath, an author called it a while back. And the power of the Spirit is for daily life, not just for Sundays, not just in church. And also, this is something that we do together, not alone. The church in Acts, you repeatedly have this phrase, all the believers were one in heart and mind. They met together. They acted together. The power of the Spirit moved them to work together. So let's encourage one another in our sharing time here and at other times as well. Let's tell each other how great God is. Let's encourage one another to follow Jesus in the power of the Spirit. About Thy Kingdom Come, these past 9 days between Ascension and Pentecost, Archbishop Justin Welby says this: I cannot remember in my life anything that I've been involved in where I've sensed so clearly the work of the Spirit. Now, he's been a Christian for a number of years. Let me put that delicately. He says, I cannot remember a time in my life when I sensed so clearly the work of the Spirit. Maybe, as Wendy said, maybe you've been aware of the Spirit in a new way this week. I would say don't keep the story to yourself. Don't hide it away, because the work of the Spirit is for encouraging one another and for taking the Spirit out, taking the gospel out, telling the world about Jesus. So tell us, tell others, tell your neighbours, and tell the world.